Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and I am joined, as usual, by the full J-Squared contingent, Mr. Jeff Reed. On my left, Mr. Jason Tross. On my right, Hannah Farah. In the screening room, another day closer. The baby birthday, well, you should see her face. It's one of those days, folks. I know that look. I know that look. Everybody, let's stretch your hands towards Hannah. Lord, pray to get better. Pray to get better. Well, as most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, I'm so glad you've made the decision to hang out in the corner with us. It is a distinct honor and privilege to come through these airwaves and to have a conversation, albeit one way most of the time, with you. You know, I consider that a privilege, man. I never dreamed I would be doing anything like this. I've said before, many people may not even be aware, but I didn't come to AFA to get on the radio. I don't even realize I could have done a radio show. I was just going to be a paper-pushing, behind-the-scenes attorney. And the next thing you know, here I am. Here, so I just thank God for the way he works things out and puts things together. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. I tell you, serving the Lord, what an adventure. I don't understand. It doesn't compete with me when people talk about serving the Lord is boring. I don't understand that at all. Man, it has been an adventure, man. I can tell you some stories. It wasn't even my idea to go to law school. Man, the Lord led me in that direction. I thought I was done with school. But maybe I'll tell that story another day. Let me do this. We are still in the posture where we are collecting listener stories. And what that is, we have our spring share-a-thon coming up toward the latter part of April. And we are inviting listeners to offer their listener stories. If you find the Hamilton Corner to be a blessing to you, you're encouraged by it, or really any of the programming across the entirety of our network here at American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk, we invite you to call this phone number. Let me give it to you now. It's 877-876-8893. That number again is 877-876-8893. What you would do is call that number. You would leave the equivalent of a voice message. Almost everybody is familiar with leaving voice messages. And once you do that, our creative team will get that message, produce it, and you will get the opportunity to hear your voice, more than likely, during our spring share-a-thon. We found it to be a source of encouragement for us, yes, but find it to also be an extreme source of encouragement for the listeners. Some of the listeners love to hear how other listeners are listening and growing as a result of the programming. So I would just humbly ask, would you please consider offering your listener testimony by calling 877-876-8893, and we will use that, produce that, and air it during the spring share-a-thon. Praise God. Well, today, let me say this as well. There's still time to purchase or register for the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference, June 20th through the 22nd. I'm going to be talking about that more and more, probably starting in the next 2 weeks after April 11th, where I'll be with the Pro-Life Mississippi folks at the banquet there in Jackson, Mississippi. Man, and what an amazing time to stand for life. I mean, it's like the Lord is just putting together the type of momentum that's necessary to see the scourge that is in utero baby murder put to death, you know, pun intended, where we can kill that wickedness in our nation. And so I'm looking forward to standing with the Pro-Life Mississippi family in Jackson, Mississippi. If you'd like to attend that event, you can go to prolifemississippi.org. And the 2019 Marriage, Family, and Life Conference, sponsored by the American Family Association, we will be doing just that, addressing the issues of marriage, family, and life. And really, the focus is equipping the body of Christ to stand firmly for in the face of the things that are coming really to ensnare the body. Man, I've been praying about my contributions, and I'm extremely excited to share what God has put on my heart for that particular event. You need to be here for it. You register at urbanfamilytalk.com, urbanfamilytalk.com. You can register right there. Now, we're going to begin today in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, just verses 1 and 2. That's all I'm going to discuss right now. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And, excuse me, this follows the first chapter where Paul is writing to the saints at Colossae concerning the preeminence of Christ. And then he goes on from there to talk about new life in Christ, being alive in Christ, being alive in Christ. And then we catch up to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I'm for the remainder of the time here, I want to rest there for the conversation we're going to have here. Right in verse 1, this is what the Apostle Paul says in his epistle to the saints at Colossae. He said, if then, now remember, this follows the previous conversations we've had about the preeminence of Christ and new life in Christ. Paul then says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. I'll read those two again. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Oh, praise God for this. One of the things I say frequently about your emotions being horrible generals but tremendous foot soldiers comes from this scripture, and I'll kind of unpack what I'm talking about here with that. So Paul then, in response to all of the things, or not in response, following the things he'd mentioned prior to this in the epistle to the Colossians, he says, now, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. And he immediately refers to Christ being at the right hand of the Father. If you follow the Hebrew scripture, you know the right hand is the right hand of power. It is depicting Jesus as the perpetual intercessor on our behalf, showing Christ our King in the position as the go-between, as the mechanism by which, if you will, that we are able to live this new life in Christ Jesus. Because of Christ, we are able now, contrary to our position prior to being, as Paul describes it, raised with Christ. Now that we are raised with Christ, we have the capacity for Christ to intervene and take this rugged nastiness that was flesh, make it new, and empowers us to operate within the ambit of the graces of our Lord. So as a result of that, verse 2 comes into play. Then set your minds on things that are above. Isn't it amazing? Because Paul initiates the conversation by saying, seek the things that are above. Pursue those. That's an affirmative pursuit that is given to us to follow. Then Paul compounds that by saying, and set your minds. Because if you've been raised with Christ, Christ is the intercessor on your behalf, standing at the right hand of the Father, Father ever making intercession on our behalf. As a result of that, now you set your minds on things that are above. I say all the time, God knows when we are converted, when we are born again, we are become the beneficiaries of a new nature. But we do not automatically get new minds, because God gives us the privilege and the opportunity to join him in participating in our sanctification. So Paul is saying to the saints at Colossae, which is a Gentile, culturally Grecian community, no, you're not bound to live according to the former dictates of Colossian tradition and culture. Set your minds. Tell your minds what to do. The King James translates this as set your affections. Oh, I'm about to get excited. Why are you so excited, eh? Because that entire phrasing, set your mind, set your affections, in Greek is phroneo. The word there is phroneo, which means to set the fulcrum of your emotive capacities and your intellectual center, your reasoning functions. The combination of reasoning and emotions, the Lord, through Apostle Paul, is saying, put that all together and put that on things that are above. Your mind and your emotions are no longer just a feature of humanity. They're no longer just a pawn on the chessboard. They've been upgraded now. because of Christ Jesus. They've been upgraded from the role of a pawn on the chessboard to royalty on the chessboard. And guess what? Just as a piece on a chessboard is subject to the movement of the chess player, so is your mind and your emotions. You no longer have to allow your emotions to dictate to you. You don't have to let your emotions tell you, well, I'm just a little slug in the mully grubs. Pick, man. Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus or not? You're not bound and compelled to live according to your former nature. That's why Christ came. In the first Adam, all die. But in the second Adam, all are made alive. See, the thing we have to realize, the Lord is so good. Being dominated by our human nature is a product of the fall. When the rebellion occurred, and I said the fall, but I refer to it as a rebellion. When the rebellion occurred, the consequences of that rebellion are that mankind was then sentenced to live according to his body. It was an inversion that took place because we were never meant to be dominated by our bodies, or to say it, and if you want to say it in a more churchified way, by our flesh. We weren't made to be dominated by the flesh. The flesh is supposed to be a servant to the purposes of God. And I mean our physical bodies. I don't mean the carnal nature. Hear me clearly. Perfect example. When the rebellion occurred, God came a-calling. Adam, where are you? I say it all the time. When God asks questions, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He's omniscient, man. When God asks questions, it's because he's driving at something deeper and he's inviting us to ponder the depths of his inquiry. Adam, where are you? The Lord is indicating that there had been a severance, a rupture between he and man that had not existed prior to the rebellion. And how did Adam respond? Lord, our eyes were open and we knew, that's what the Bible said, that we were naked. Genesis 3. And how did God respond? Who told you that? What is the Lord demonstrating for us there? The Lord is demonstrating for us because they had bodies, their eyes worked. We know Adam's eyes worked because after Eve was formed, I love that. The Bible talks about he fashioned, formed Adam from the dust of the ground. But the Hebrew construction for Eve, it said he built her, constructed her. And it caused Adam to start spitting rap songs. Woo, she flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. We know Adam's eyes worked. He saw Eve. But what the Lord is revealing in that encounter is that now Adam and Eve, for the first time, are allowing their eyes to dictate their intellectual capacity and to dictate what they should feel for the first time in human history. Which is why God responds, who told you that? Your eyes have been working all along, but now you are seeing yourself in a different light. Move forward into the New Testament context. That's why the Lord speaks through the Apostle Paul. We walk how? By faith and not by sight. Not because we don't see anything with our eyes. Of course, we see everything around us. But what we see doesn't govern what we do or how we walk. Why? Because we have a higher source that governs and dictates how we are to operate and to engage. And that is how the Apostle Paul can say here by the Spirit of God, set your affections, set your mind, phroneo. Your emotions don't rule you, not anymore. Because if any man is Christ, he is a new creature. If any man is in Christ, he has a new nature. James talks about us being a founded creation. The Greek word there is tisma, having a higher source point of origin. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections. Man, don't let your affections set you. I'm not trying to hear what you feel like, what is true. I'm not trying to hear like, man, but that don't feel right. What is true? Whatever is true, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is good, think on these things. Brethren, as members of the body of Christ, we have the newfound capacity because of the indwelling of the Spirit of God to no longer simply to be a casualty of our bodies. Tell that sucker to get in line. We're not casualties of our affections because we set them. And that's why I tell people all the time, love is not an emotion. It's an act of the will. We tell our affections what to do. We set them. Our affections don't set us.
An Ohio court makes a life-saving decision. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. An Ohio Court of Appeals recently upheld a law that blocked state funds from going to organizations that provide abortions. The Court of Appeals ruled that the law does not violate the Constitution. This is a huge victory for the lives of babies. Hopefully other states will start to follow Ohio's applaudable decision. Planned Parenthood does not have a constitutional right to receive taxpayer funds for providing abortions. Not one penny of taxpayer dollars should ever go to fund the murder of innocent children. Baby-killing mills like Planned Parenthood operate under the guise of women's health care. Yet the organization's president even recently verified that abortion is its core mission. Americans of conscience should not have to have their taxes go to support human genocide. Stay informed about the fight for life in our nation. Go to Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.
The movie Unplanned is the story of Abby Johnson, a former abortion center director who became a pro-life activist after witnessing an abortion for the first time herself. Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association, and you need to go see this movie, Unplanned. We've screened that here at American Family Association and American Family Radio. It is one of the most powerful films I've ever seen, and especially having to do with the pro-life issue. This was a woman who was very steeped in Planned Parenthood, and then she turned around, and God showed her what she was being a part of, and she left that and now speaks out on behalf of life. So it's a great story. It's a true story, and it's a movie that you want to go see, so make plans to do so.
Unplanned, now playing in select theaters nationwide. Not suitable for younger viewers.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Islamic Nation of Brunei will be implementing strict Sharia law this week. The penalty for thievery will be to have a hand and foot amputated. The penalty for adultery and for homosexuality will be death by stoning. Remember that these standards come from Allah himself through the so-called Prophet Muhammad and are recorded for all time in the Quran. In other words, this is the real Islam, what true and authentic Islam looks like in practice. As the Kingdom of Brunei itself says, these penalties are straight from the, quote, teachings of Islam, end quote. Actor and activist George Clooney has called for a boycott of every luxury hotel owned by Brunei in protest. This makes Clooney the leading Islamophobe in the world since he's condemning authentic Islam. Who knew?
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. So a while back, I did a show on the Hegelian dialectical process, and some of you may remember that, where they would call it progress, I would call it regression, regression is made through a consistent process to where you have an initial position presented in the form of a thesis, then you would have the polar opposite of that position offered in the form of an antithesis, and then you would have a third middle of the road, or third way, as it's commonly referred to among Hegelians, as a compromise posture, only to be met to where that third position, that third way, would be referred to as the synthesis. So you'd have thesis, antithesis, synthesis, all right? And then the way that the regression would continue, that synthesis is always followed by an additional thesis offered, moving further and further in the direction of the synthesis. And I've explained that is how you have initially the Democrat Party proposing single-payer health insurance, not to be confused with health care, because health care is something completely different. Health insurance is how you pay for it, all right? You had the initial proposition of single-payer health insurance all the way back under Hillary Clinton. People forget that this is not a new conversation. It was called Hillary Care when Bill Clinton was in office. It was a single-payer health insurance program. Well, the Dems scrapped that. So we thought. Only to come back under Barack Obama and say, hey, we want single-payer yet again. Thesis. Then Barack Obama presents, well, the Republicans say, no, we don't want single-payer health insurance. Antithesis. Then you have the Affordable Care Act offered, okay, well, we won't go full-on single-payer. We'll go Affordable Care Act. Synthesis. All right? Then you immediately have a brand new thesis, which is not a new thesis. It's the same old thesis, following the failures of Obamacare. Thesis. We need single-payer. Republican antithesis? No, we need a Republican version of Obamacare. Repeal and replace. Antithesis. What's the new synthesis? Republicans are now on board with the idea of a top-down government central health insurance program. You find very few Republicans who are now standing at the position where, no, just repeal Obamacare. Don't replace it. I heard the analogy, if you got cancer, you don't want your cancer cut out and replaced with a milder disease. Who wants that? Man, cut the cancer out. Rid me of this sickness. I'm suggesting that because, you know, you might have heard, well, you didn't hear. I was asked, well, hey, why don't you ever broadcast your show from CPAC behind the scenes? Conservative Political Action Committee. And I responded to them in private because I don't trust CPAC. Some of you are sitting there like, what? What's wrong with CPAC? I'm just going to tell you. I happen to be a constitutionalist because I'm a Christian. My affinity is not to some political ideology because I'm standing on a rock that's higher than me, a rock that is steadfast, unmovable, and ever abounding. All right? The time is coming, and I mentioned this before in a show I did concerning Guy Benson. Some of you may be familiar with him. He is a somewhat up-and-coming popular pundit. So on Fox News and other channels, you know, he identifies himself as a gay conservative. You're starting to hear that more and more. Just a few days ago when in New York, there was the hashtag walkaway founder, Brandon Straka, who, in case you don't know, who is a homosexual hairdresser from New York, who founded the walkaway campaign. Some of you may be wondering why I never jumped on that bandwagon. Because I walked away before there was a walkaway campaign, so there was no new story for me to tell. Plus, I do a little homework and realize, I think I need to watch out for that one. Getting back to what I'm talking about, CPAC made some moves some years back to where they started trying to get people to be a little more quiet. Don't talk so much about, you know, sexual deviancy agendas and things of that nature. Let's focus on fiscal conservatism and border issues and things of that nature. All right. Say, well, now, you know, you either want all of me or none of me. I'm not one of these guys where I'm allow you to Hegelian dialectical process me, you know. So I don't trust CPAC. Well, turns out my lack of trust was right. Because there's some audio from an executive at Google all the way back in 2018 that shows CPAC got a new sponsor. Now, many of you, like me, have been lamenting big tech companies censoring Christian and constitutionalist viewpoints. One of those big tech companies is Google that owns YouTube, right? Well, guess who sponsored, paid money for CPAC in 2018? You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to Google executive Adam Kovacevic in his own words. Please play clip number one.
In a 2018 phone recording, Adam Kovacevic, he's Google's head of U.S. public policy, explains to Google employees why the company was a sponsor for CPAC that year. Google sponsored CPAC, he says, because it wouldn't let them push the party toward a more open borders agenda. Listen.
The Republican Party, and I think conservatism generally, is also going through a lot of internal debates about what it should be, right? What should be the sort of position of the party? And I think that's one that we should be involved in, because we, I think, want, probably, the majority of voters would want to steer conservatives and Republicans more towards a message of liberty and freedom and away from the more sort of nationalistic incendiary comments, nativist comments and things like that.
Now, as noted, Google has more power than any company has ever had. It has the power of its massive data reserves technology. Of course, it has financial power. It's one of the highest market cap companies in history. It also increasingly has political power, though they don't typically admit it in public.
Now, what you didn't get to hear the remainder of the conversation, turns out Google wanted to throw a bit of its weight around to influence the Republican view on the immigration debate from the inside. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? They referred to the constitutionalist position concerning border security as a nativist position, a non-liberty and freedom position. Are you cool with Google sponsoring CPAC? And that phone call that you heard was Adam Kovacevic explaining to his Google employees or Google people. He calls them Googlers. Isn't that cute? Googlers. Hey, Googlers. Explaining to the Googlers, well, guys, it's not what you think. If we want to influence the conversation on immigration, we have to get into these events and move them our way. I'm not cool with that. I'm not cool with that at all. Because there's these things, you know, pesky things they are, you know, called principles. You know? That are not subject to certain bids or offers. You know what I'm saying? And it just, you know, I read this story, you know, and it came out last month about, and I said, you know, the time is upon us where we're going to have to make a decision whether or not we are going to be principled at some point we're going to have to make a decision, because I'm not cool with CPAC taking money from Google and their objective is to regressivize the Republican Party stance on immigration. Could this be, for example, why Republicans with majorities never tried to shut down the border before now? Could this be why with all of these, and I'm just on one today, because I was thinking about this over the weekend, that I couldn't believe how many of these people, like Mike Lee and others, they're acting as if this is a constitutional position to oppose President Trump's declaration of a national emergency by saying that we want to make sure we preserve the constitutional separation of powers. What I'm saying, are you Boo Boo the Fool? The man is operating according to a 1976 statute that was passed by Congress. Don't try to act like you're such a protector and defender of the Constitution. Now, some of y'all, man, y'all suspect. That's the word we use in the block. Y'all suspect. All this time, you've had the opportunity to do something on the border. Now President Trump is finally trying to do something, and now you want to talk about the Constitution? Man, have several seats. I got plenty of chairs around me just for you. That's ridiculous, man. And so when you see things like this, you not kind of get that feeling like somebody's like trying to touch you on your shoulder, but or like a little bug flying around. Like, what's that? Get away from me. I'm telling you, man. Guys, we have to have discernment, because I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, regressivism is a bipartisan institution. You have people in both parties who are working toward the subjugation and the systematic erosion of the United States of America. I'm just telling you. There's no way, when you think about all of these things, you think about how all of these things that are happening, you know, the deep state fighting against President Trump. You know, all of these people, they're so compassionate. They're so compassionate, but they're the ones telling you need to kill children in the womb. But they're so compassionate. Don't trust these folks, man. I don't trust them. So I just wanted to let you know. And you can tell them, I heard this on the Hamilton Corner, that one of CPAC's sponsors for 2018 was Google. Do you trust Google to maintain the integrity of constitutionalist political orientation? I don't. I'm going to leave that alone for now. Next topic. These people, man. Talking snakes, I tell you. Just a little walk down memory lane. Listen to this audio. That's clip number two.
For 2 years, the coverage of the Robert Mueller probe has been dramatic, relentless, and constantly suggesting that President Trump's conduct was worse than Watergate.
We do know that Donald Trump Sr. has lied throughout this investigation.
This goes to the heart of everything we've been talking about for the last couple of years, the collusion and the cover-up.
But as the investigation ends with no indictments for Russian collusion or obstruction of justice, the press has come under harsh scrutiny, along with a series of high-profile mistakes, from ABC's Brian Ross making a false accusation against Michael Flynn, to BuzzFeed saying Trump directed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress. And condemnations are coming from the right and the left.
How in the world did several major news networks, newspapers, and so on devote so much time to what turned out to be utterly baseless speculation?
Exactly. Well, it turns out not only are media personages responding and the political responses, it seems like the American people are responding. As of the date that the Mueller report was issued, ratings at MSNBC and CNN fell through the floor. The biggest hit was MSNBC. CNN was way behind, you know, because they have so few viewers. It's a shame. With all of the resources they put into their people don't even watch that trash, man. With good reasons. But MSNBC and Rachel Maddow in particular, she's lost something like 500,000 viewers. Just like that. Because you see, a lot of the people thought that they were reporting the news, but when they realized, nah, this is money. We get cash. That the media does its job combined with the deep state efforts to polarize the nation concerning President Trump, it's profitable to hate the man. I shared the story of the former New York Times' editor coming out and saying, yeah, we kind of lost our way journalistically. When 9 out of 10 stories about Trump and 8.5 out of 9, they're all negative about him. You know why? Because their subscriptions went through the roof. You have people who so wanted them, who hate the president so much so, that they fawn. They're like salivating dogs. Oh, give me more. Give me more. As soon as the Mueller report comes out, bam, no collusion. All their viewers, like a dog that gets hit in the hand. They skulk away. Where you had an appreciable drop in some of their demographics of 50% anywhere between 20 and 40% of their viewers just gone. You know, and it made me think that, man, you have people that their entire business models were built on the resist Trump narrative. And it just, you know, and y'all, most people who listen to this program, you know that my program is an opinion show. I endeavor to have my opinion informed by facts. That's why I talk about current events and news stories. But one of the most frequent questions I get when I travel and even the messages from people is, where can I go to find a trustworthy source for news? Because in order for our republic to work at its maximum level of efficiency, we have to have an informed electorate. But there's some among us that are so committed to their prior perceptions that they are willing to deny facts in order to have their perceptions carry the day. And it's got to make you think. It got to make you think. That when you see that such a large portion of these media outlets' audience go away because the president is not guilty of colluding with a foreign power, it kind of makes you wonder where we are as a country, doesn't it?
It's amazing, but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
No Russia collusion for the president. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. After a two-year investigation that included scores of lawyers and FBI agents, which led to 37 indictments and five prison sentences, and that cost taxpayers an estimated $34 million, it turns out that President Trump did not collude with the Russian government in the 2016 election. The Bible says, "You shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness." Shame on Democrat leadership who pursued this false report, and shame on the mainstream media joining in as a malicious witness. Their partnership is the real collusion. Hear more at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. A good deed unnoticed. That story next. Every now and then, we salute Americans who are going the extra mile in their communities. Brandon McElroy is one of those guys. He's a deputy sheriff in Clay County, Missouri. Big storms pounded the region the other day, and Deputy McElroy happened to be driving by a house when he came across a flagpole blown over by the winds. He noticed the American flag on the ground, so the deputy stopped his patrol car. What happened next was all captured on video from a doorbell camera. Deputy McElroy picked up the flag, removed it from the broken flagpole, and respectfully folded Old Glory, placing it on the front porch. Later that day, the homeowner's wife got a hold of Deputy McElroy, thanked him for his kind and patriotic deed. He tells Fox and Friends, "Americans are obliged to show respect to the red, white, and blue." I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. We will open the phone lines this segment. And as promised, if you were calling yesterday and you wanted to get in, you're welcome to call. The number to do so is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. Looks like they started calling early today, huh, Hannah? The number again is 888-589-8840. One of the questions I'm asking, callers, well, the questions I'm asking, and if you have something you want to offer, feel free to jump in, is, are you comfortable with Google being a sponsor for CPAC? You know, how does that make you feel? Does it make you as uncomfortable as it makes me? You know, what do you think? Abraham, you know, GOP, Big Ten, blah, 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 blah. You need to be a bit more, whatever. You know, I'm open, I'll listen. Jason doesn't believe that. Are you comfortable with CPAC being sponsored by Google? That's what I want to know. So as the callers, and some are already starting to call, I wanted to mention this, because just this past Sunday, because this is the play. Look, that's the dude I was just talking about. This is the play. Excuse me, I'm having a private conversation while I'm on the radio at the same time. The play with the whole immigration debate. CBS is now starting a multi-episode series. That's how to describe it? Yeah. A multi-episode series on their, President Trump might say, failing new television station. Where they are seeking to humanize coyotes. Now, coyotes are the people south of our border that migrants pay money to help shepherd them from their South American or Central American countries or Mexican country into the United States of America. And the first installment, they call it Chapter 1, aired this past Sunday. And it highlighted two coyotes, Gonzalez Jimenez and his smuggling partner, Augustine. And they talked about, well, you know, we typically charge $700 to get people safely from Colombia to Panama. They take them that stage of the journey. And then other coyotes would take them from Panama up to the United States of America. Just so you know, they have different installments they plan on. The next chapter that they're going to air most likely this Sunday is on, quote, the rest stop. Set in Tapachula, Mexico, which is a city on the border between Mexico and Guatemala, while they watch the migrants while they rest. Now, interestingly enough, in the CBS show that they played, they didn't show any migrants. I was going to play audio for you, but the video source that I had, it was all in Spanish with English subtitles. And the subtitles don't work for radio, all right? But they didn't interview any migrants. They said many of the people that we helped, the smugglers are saying, the coyotes are saying, we really help women and children. There were no women and children in the video, though. And the CBS, of course, didn't ask any questions. You know, questions like, what happens if some of the people you're smuggling fall behind? Do you guys wait and care for them? You know why? Because they know the answer is no. People, millions of people, I won't say millions of people, lots of people don't make that journey. But as the propagandists that they are, they want to make you and I think, oh, these are just humanitarian helpers, you see, that they're offering a service by aiding these destitute migrants that they charge at least $700 a pop to make it to the land of the free and the home of the brave. Or I wonder if CBS ever plans on asking questions about the scores of women who get raped and beaten on this journey. You know, Doctors Without Borders released statistics that show women making the trek through Mexico, 1 in 3 suffer sexual abuse. 1 in 3. But CBS ain't asking the questions about that, at least not in this first episode. So I just wanted to make you aware that if somebody asks you about that or raises that with you, that CBS is doing their propagandist best to humanize coyotes. We got some sick people in our country, man. I mean, this is sick. This is sick. All of the travesties, and I've heard many of my own stories, having worked in the criminal law in Texas, that this is not a fun journey. They're going to present it as if, yes, this is just a trek. You know, they're just going hiking. It's ridiculous, man. But as promised, let's go to the phone lines. We will start in Texas, where Doug is on the line. Doug, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, Doug. How are you?
All right. I just had a comment. I heard you make a remark that a lot of some of the Republicans were kind of in the same bed as the Democrats. Well, I believe that a lot more than just a few are in the same bed, and I believe that I'm around 67 years old, and I was around when Nikita Khrushchev was whatever they call the head of the communist country of Russia. And he turned around and he made a statement that they would take over America without firing a shot. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're in the process of doing now. These people that claim to be socialists are not socialists. They're communists. But these people that they're using, which they are, that they're using in this country, the majority of them, they don't even realize that they would be the first ones to go. When these people finally put themselves in power, they would not have the freedom that they think they're going to get out of it, because they just disappear in the middle of the night. So would people like you. I mean, you run your mouth on the radio, and forgive me for putting it that way, but you're running your mouth on the radio, you'd be one of the first ones that would disappear in the middle of the night. Me, I don't have a radio show. They wouldn't find me for a long time. But, I mean, I'm sure they'd find me, too, because I can't stand them. But, yeah, they're sick. I mean, they're full-out, blown-out Satanists. I mean, but that's what they're working at. Yep. I mean, and I think in some ways that it's time that the Christian church, the Word of God says that if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I would heal their land. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that there was prophecy over Donald Trump before he got put into office that he was declared Cyrus. Mm-hmm. By some of the people that prophesied over him that God was calling him Cyrus. Mm-hmm. He is in position by God to help heal this land. I think when we pray for him, we shouldn't call him Donald Trump. Jesus was the Christ. He wasn't Jesus Christ. You know, that wasn't his last name.
That's right.
He was the Christ to redeem the world from sin. Well, Cyrus back in the Babylonian days was appointed by God to rebuild Jerusalem. Hmm. Cyrus in this day is appointed by God to rebuild America. I think that we as Christians should get together and call on God and talk to God and call and use Donald Trump's name as his anointing.
Doug, thank you for your encouraging call, saying that they're going to come for me because I run my mouth on the radio. Very, very encouraging. I'm so uplifted by that sentiment and the statement you made concerning these people being communists. Many of them, you're absolutely right. I mean, Bernie Sanders is an outright communist. He uses the phrasing of democratic socialism really to deceive an ignorant populace, really. I mean, you search Bernie Sanders' history, out and out communist. And the thing... It's amazing what's happening right before our very eyes. And I know I made this point before, but I'm going to make it again. Remember how incessantly the talking snake media worked to protect Barack Obama from being labeled as a Marxist, from being labeled as a socialist. Do you remember that? I mean, these people, I used the word picture before, they were like soccer goalies, you know, defending, protecting. Deflecting, making sure no one labeled Barack Obama as a socialist. And now these people are running as out and out socialists. How far is it really between these people describing themselves as socialists before they admit communism? And then ask the question, really, what's the difference between socialism and communism? They want to call it democratic socialism. Just because of where we are. But that's just the latest iteration and many efforts to do that going back throughout history. But we'll back to the phone lines we go next. We'll stay in Texas. We'll go to Kathy, who is in Texas. Kathy, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I listen to you every day, and it's quite interesting. But this is my comment. When are we going to get to a point to where you cannot tell the difference between a Democrat and a Republican with our thought process? Because we're supposed to be here to help heal all people, not just a Republican people or a Democratic people. But we should be trying to help everybody. We're fighting over insurance. We're fighting over borders. We're fighting over meaningless things. You got people that like Trump. You have people that don't like Trump. You have people that like Obama, and you have people that don't. But so what? That has always been the way. When can we get to a place to where I vote for you because you say something that I like and what you say means something to me? I shouldn't have to vote for you because you're a Republican or a Democrat. I want to vote for you because You're trying to help all people.
Kathy, thank you for your call and your comments. I have to push back a little bit because the suggestion that things like borders and insurance are not important, I just disagree with that completely. Those things are important. Specifically talking about borders, for example. If you don't have borders, you don't have a country, ultimately. You know, you do not have a country. And I do think insurance, it's important primarily, not merely because of the concept of insurance, but the mechanism for pursuing a single payer insurance system. It's not even primarily about insurance. It's about gaining control. It's about fundamentally transforming this nation into something completely different. Now, the statement about, you know, Democrats and Republicans, I think the reality is it comes down to truth. Truth and right and judgment. And so these things are critically important. And I do agree with you in this, that the dumbing down of our political dialogue to a binary system has worked to allow control to be prevalent because people often feel that they don't have choices. But the facts are, nobody in the country has to vote for anybody because of their political affiliation. The reason why we should vote for people is because of what they stand for and what they profess to believe in. You know, the reality is the majority of the people, like 99% of the people who are running for public office, who identify themselves as Democrats, they believe in killing children in the womb. That's not my opinion. That's a fact. I mean, can you name one candidate for the presidency right now who's declared themselves to be running for the Democrat nomination that does not support baby murder? Can't do it. Can't do it. So I think what has to happen, and this kind of goes back to a prior call, that as the people of God in this country begin to demand righteousness more and more, to where the establishmentarians in the bipartisan regressive institution recognize that the American people are not going for the foolishness anymore, and realize we don't want just every now and again a non-lying politician candidate. That is what we demand going forward. And I think we can do that if we do pay attention and not allow ourselves to be subject to talking points and political maneuvering, but we stand for truth and we are informed so that we're able to evaluate truth and a lie. Back to the phone lines we go. I'm going to try to squeeze all of this in. We'll go to Tennessee where Greg is on the line. Greg, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I really enjoy your show. I appreciate that. And getting right to the point, my call was to thank you for informing me about Google's interest in usurping our Constitution. I think that's outrageous. And it seems altogether typical, but I appreciate your thoughts on that. Mostly, I appreciate the knowledge.
Well, you're very welcome, Greg. Thank you for listening to the program. I'm going to try to go next to Ohio to squeeze Joe in. Joe, you have 15 seconds. Go.
All right. You're right on the money. Google is not to be trusted. They're one of the largest sponsors of liberalism around the world. And these 12 rhino establishments, Mike Lee and Rand Paul, are no better than the liberal Democrats. McSally, Gardner, and Tillis are also rhinos who would have voted the same way. We need to root out the swamp and get some true conservatives in there. God bless you.
God bless you, Joe. Thank you for your call and your comments. And folks, all of this hinges on one main reality. Jesus Christ is still the answer. If you do not yet know him, don't harden your hearts when he draws you, because today is the day of salvation.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.